Well, here we go again.
It's like a national catastrophe.
Okay, Donald, I know you're into big diversion tonight. Anything to avoid talking about your campaign and the way it's exploding.
She lied. Now she's blaming the lie on the late, great Abraham Lincoln.
He has also targeted immigrants, African Americans, Latinos, people with disabilities, POWs, Muslims, and so many others.
She has made bad judgment not only on taxes, she's made bad judgments on Libya, on Syria, on Iraq. Disaster.
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 You know it. We all know it.
If this were just about one video, maybe what he's saying tonight would be understandable. But everyone can draw their own conclusions at this point.
No, I'm a gentleman, Hillary. Go ahead.
We deserve answers.
She talks about words that I said 11 years ago.
Donald talking about women.
I think it's disgraceful.
What he thinks about women.
And I think she should be ashamed of herself if you want to know the truth.
What he does to women.
Bill Clinton. Far worse.
I'm sorry I have to keep saying this, but he lives in an alternative reality.
But when you talk about apology, and the thing that you should be apologizing for are the 33,000 emails that you deleted and that you acid washed.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry today. Thank you so much for listening. 28 days until Election Day, but in the last 72 hours, the campaign for president has, it can be said, gone off the rails. Donald Trump suggesting sexual assault on a hot mic, Republican officials abandoning him, unendorsing, some calling on him to exit the race, even questions about whether his own running mate will stay on the ticket. Now, Donald Trump took another unprecedented step last night. He threatened, if elected, to put his political opponent in prison. It's the kind of thing you're used to hearing maybe from a banana republic dictatorship, but it was yet another aspect of the Trump phenomenon that's upended political traditions in the United States and now caused some Republicans to head for the exits. In a moment, one woman who's as strongly behind Donald Trump as ever. But last night was what many Republicans described as the last chance for Donald Trump to redeem some part of his campaign, either for the presidency or at least to prevent down-ticket Republicans from suffering in November. And for some, that last chance was already gone before the cameras came on in prime time. Kim Alfano is a Republican strategist and CEO of Alfano Communications. She says Trump's first debate performance and the release of those Access Hollywood tapes last Friday confirmed for her that Donald Trump shouldn't be president.
I've decided that I can't be with him. And it happened prior to the debate. It actually happened from the last debate. But I can't be with Hillary either. So I'm in the age-old conundrum of every other person out there that's just looking at this thing and sort of got a pit in their stomach.
So this was not a function of the latest video of Friday where Donald Trump is talking about women and how he moves on them and everybody knows what's in that video. It's not because of that?
Yeah, well, it's partially because of that, but I have to say that I think the last debate performance, there's a couple of things for me. One, I think character does matter, but I think both of these candidates are just fatally flawed when it comes to character. But I think Donald Trump showed in the last debate that he's eminently baitable. I mean, he just can't seem to not run his campaign or his actions on anything but his personal ego, and that to me seems dangerous.
You know, Kim, I hear what you're saying, and there are lots and lots of Republicans over the weekend who bolted from Donald Trump, unendorsed or said they couldn't support him or actively said that they would vote for Hillary Clinton now because of that video on Friday from the Hollywood bus. And I know you were sort of there a little bit before that, but a lot of the reaction has been, as bad as that video was or even the debate performance, none of it was really new. There were other Republicans and other conservatives warning about Donald Trump for a year, not just sexism and that approach to women, but also impulsivity, inability to edit himself. None of it was new.
Right. No, I agree. I can't say I was ever really there. I think for the sake of the party, you try to come up with some rationale and some outcome that's better than having Hillary Clinton be president. that debate, that last debate, when he was taking the bait and acting like a petulant child, which he has throughout, his bombast turned to, I think, unsteady behavior. It's fine. Well, again, in this election, it was okay if he's a bombastic blowhard, as long as he's talking about things in a strong way, you know, protecting America, our security, the economy. He could be a jerk and gruff and coarse on that, and we could still swallow it. It scares me. It scares me, him sitting somewhere negotiating something that could put myself in jeopardy and my child. I just don't see his ability to be disciplined enough to not be personal about it.
And Kim, I totally hear you on that, and you're certainly not alone in that assessment of Donald Trump. And again, you know, so much of this was apparent about his personality, that the charge of impulsivity, inability to restrain himself he's running for president, has been around for so long. And I just really want to know why now and not 6 months ago, when you are someone who knows what it takes to run for president and probably what it means to be president.
It's been a firestorm in the last few weeks, but it's a very good question. Like I said, I can't say that I was ever 100% on board. I wasn't. I was trying to find that way out, but I just think that his level of impulsivity and the thinness of his skin came to a fever pitch in that last debate. And I think then you cap it with this video. I'm a single mom of an 11-year-old daughter. You cap it with this video where that doesn't just put the public discourse in jeopardy. It puts her, the whole mentality of the country, and it puts her in jeopardy. Then it just kind of was a tipping point, I guess.
Kim Alfano is a Republican strategist. She's CEO of Alfano Communications in Delaware. Kim Alfano, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
So Kim Alfano is one Republican woman who says she's had enough. She's off of the Trump train. But not all Republicans are ready to bolt. Far from it. Lee Snover is a Republican from Pennsylvania. She was a delegate for Donald Trump at the GOP convention in Cleveland. And she remains a strong Trump backer from the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
Well, I think the second debate, he did good enough to put away the, that false morality going on with the tape. I think he did a good job of putting that away, because the debate performance was so much better and they talked about the issues. I don't think that's going to be the highlight this week. Yes, he had a tough week, but I think he came out. He was much more practiced. He was prepared. It looked like his campaign had, you know, worked with him, and Kellyanne Conway had sat down with him and prepared him for this debate. And debate number two, he did a great job as far as I'm concerned.
Now, you said false morality. Talk to me about that a little bit. You were talking about the video and the audio from Access Hollywood and his comments about how he moved on a married woman and what people have seen as fantasizing about sexual assault or acknowledging it. You call that false morality?
Well, what I'm saying here is I listened to it and, yeah, I was disappointed and disgusted, and I was like, oh, I can't believe he said that. But it was 11 years ago. But here's what I'm talking about, and this is what I really want to get through to the American people. I think this morality outrage is fake. I think it's coming from the Democrat Hillary Clinton, but it's also coming from the Republican establishment and the Bushes. I think it's fake, and here's why I say that. We have told the religious right over and over, stop talking about character, stop talking about morality, do not judge me, and now we're talking about it again. And I just think that it's fake. I think that we live in a secular America. We don't look at presidents that way. We look at what they're going to do with policy. We don't look at their character anymore. We've said that before, that they have a private life. Bill Clinton said that. I have a private life. And let's go back to 1992, just for a flashback. What did they say in his campaign? They wanted to take the focus off his infidelity. They said it's the economy, stupid. Why aren't we saying that now? I mean, I say it's the job, stupid. It's manufacturing, stupid. It's security.
But then it seems to me, if that's true, Lee Snover, and that's certainly your view on the Trump candidacy in all-important Pennsylvania, that there is a awful cognitive dissonance built into the Trump phenomenon then. A person who's about jobs, returning jobs, manufacturing, all these things you care about, who wants the evangelicals and the Christian voters and the religious right, the Mike Pence people, if you will, to be on board. This is a very, very complicated, fraught, and sort of dysfunctional relationship then.
I would agree that it's a little bit dysfunctional, but the evangelicals, They are not looking for a pastor, a preacher, or pope anymore. They understand that America's moving in the wrong direction, and they want to change it. And they know that's with Donald Trump. They're not going to get any change with Hillary, and they know that. They're not looking at Donald Trump and saying, he shares my morality. Donald Trump does not share my morality. But I do think Donald Trump is pro-life, and I do think they believe that. And they think that's a character issue in his favor. But I don't think they're looking for that. I think they're looking at, he's already given out the names of who he's going to appoint to the Supreme Court, and they're very interested in that. And that's a big concern of theirs. They want to protect the Second Amendment. So there's different reasons they support Donald Trump, but it's not his morality. They're not weighing it next to their morality.
All right, Lee, you and I are both from Pennsylvania. This is Donald Trump's critical state. If he can't win Pennsylvania, there's almost no way to become president. The polls aren't all the same, but it's looking, frankly, pretty bad right now for him, between 9 and 12 points behind Hillary with only 30 days to go. You're going to the rallies. You're talking to the activists. What has to happen here in Pennsylvania for him?
Listen, we have 30 days. Anything can happen. We could turn this election around. He can still win. I mean, one thing I'll tell you about the Trump voters, they are amped. They are energized. I mean, Hurricane Matthew can be on election day and they are voting. They're coming to the polls. They're dragging their friends to the polls. I think that the Donald Trump voters are going to be so energized, and they are energized against Hillary Clinton, but they're energized against the establishment, and they're coming out to vote more so than ever. They're amped.
So you've said there's this wave of pro-Trump enthusiasm in Pennsylvania and in other places, and that even if Donald Trump doesn't win this election, that there's an important message that you want to send to Republicans, too, not just Democrats.
Yeah, there's an important message. I think that I'm concerned about the Republican Party, and it's because the establishment did not get on board with him like they should have. And, you know, I'm against dynasty. I'm against the Bushes. I'm against the Clintons. I want a new Republican Party. I want a Republican Party that recruits candidates that are outside the establishment. And I think the establishment's going to pay for this. I mean, I really do. I think there's going to be backlash on them for years. I think it's going to take a long time for the establishment to get the conservative, independent, and the populist Republicans back on board.
So Donald Trump can win. Tell me how. Give me a little strategy. What can he do? Enthusiasm's not enough.
It's not enough, but you know what it is? He needs to talk about the issues. Those weeks when he was on Policy Message, the polls were so tight. When he is on teleprompter and he is on Message and he's explaining his plan.
Yeah, but he can't. That's the whole point, Lee, is that he's shown that he can't stay on Message, that he can't stay on prompter.
But he can stay on Message. Yes, he can. He's got 30 days to do it, you know? I mean, they say if you can do anything for 28 days, you can do it the rest of your life. Let's get him to do it for 28 days, and then he can do it for 8 years of his presidency.
That's Lee Snover. She's from Easton, Pennsylvania, pro-Trump delegate from the Republican National Convention. And my guest, Lee, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.